The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So glad to have you with us today. Wow, what a crazy night. What a crazy time. In Arizona, still do not have an official winner yet in the gubernatorial race. It's absolutely insane out there. And we're going to give you some great analysis. Our good friends Liz Peek, Jeffrey Lord are going to be back with us this later on in the program today to provide you with their analysis of what went down last night in the race, especially in that gubernatorial race between Karen Robeson and Carrie Lake. Now, I don't want to get into the she said, she said over the race. There's going to be enough of that moving forward. But one thing I do want to focus on right out of the gate is what the heck is going on with the voters and the electors in charge of voting in Arizona. It's a complete debacle. Last night, we got word from the Arizona Republican Party, and we're going to have Dr. Kelly Ward on the show a little bit later. We understand that upwards of 60, 62,000 ballots were mailed to the wrong voters. They literally ran out of ballots in Pinal County, Arizona, which is a massive Republican hotbed. And they were expecting a big turnout at the election, and they didn't have enough ballots. It was a complete debacle, and somebody's got to answer for that. Somebody's got to get control of the voting situation there in Arizona. It's an absolute mess. It's a debacle. And it was my understanding, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, but we all agreed there were voter shenanigans. There were voter issues. Some people will be so bold as to say the elections were stolen in some places, and I'm one of those people. By and large, even people who did not support President Trump as much as they should have within the Republican Party acknowledged that there were voter issues. Why had those issues not been resolved, especially in states that are controlled by Republicans? Now, I understand that the person in charge of elections here in Arizona, the Secretary of State, is a Democrat. I get that. But the governor is not. Doug Ducey. Where is Doug Ducey in all of this? It's simply an outrage. But I want to have a word for him. If it's okay, I would like to have a word with all of you Republican candidates out there, because it was like watching tennis last night. One side pulled ahead. The other side said, voter fraud, voter fraud. The other side pulls ahead, and then the other side says, voter fraud, voter fraud. Okay, we get it. Just because you lose an election or a primary does not necessarily mean it's automatically voter fraud. And the problem is, when you start screaming voter fraud at everything, the actual legitimate voter fraud gets overlooked. You got to stop crying wolf all the time, folks. Got to stop doing that. Then there's a situation out in Kansas, and we're going to get to that a little bit later on. What a mess that was. And that was a debacle that could have been prevented. It was an issue that could have been stopped. But there are some in the pro-life movement, they are stubborn and they will not listen to the political world. They will not listen to the guidance that is given to them. And I'll tell you what happened right away with the Kansas abortion vote. First of all, they did not need to have that vote yesterday. That was a vote that could have and should have been on the November ballot. And I don't think it would have been a problem. But the reason why it was pretty much a standalone vote is because the pro-life movement in Kansas demanded it. As a matter of fact, they threatened Republican lawmakers because you had conservative pro-life Republicans that were going to the pro-life leaders and the activists and saying, hey, look, we know what you want to do here, but this is not the time. If you do this now, the left will mobilize around this one issue and they will get out the vote. And folks, I'm telling you, when you look at the numbers that came out of Kansas last night, wow, it was more people voted on that one issue than they did in the Democrat and Republican gubernatorial primaries combined. So in other words, people were motivated. The other side, the left, the pro-baby killing crowd was motivated to get out and vote last night in Kansas. And the Republicans tried to tell them this was not the time, this was not the place for that kind of a vote, especially so close to Roe v. Wade being overturned. And they actually, and the Republicans kept pushing back, and folks, my sources on the ground tell me that the pro-life movement in Kansas told those Republicans, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to oppose you in November. So the Republicans backed off and said, okay, we tried to warn you, but you're going to be stubborn, you're going to be pig-headed, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to lose. You're going to get your head handed to you. And that's exactly what happened last night. Now, the good news here is that the rest of the Democrat Party, they're looking, and the White House, the president issued a statement last night. The White House came out, and they're celebrating what happened in Kansas, and they're saying this is going to have to happen. There's going to have to be an uprising across the nation. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they are misreading the moment in Kansas as well. Not only that, that was the most poorly worded legislation that I've ever seen. My first reading of the legislation that people were voting on yesterday, it almost led me to believe that people voting for it were actually in favor of abortion. That's how weirdly worded this legislation was. So I would not read anything into what happened in Kansas yesterday on that abortion vote. Not at all. Meanwhile, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Now, you know that we here in Memphis, Tennessee, have a major election coming up tomorrow, and the district attorney, we've got George Soros involved in the mother of all elections pertaining to the district attorney. Also, another top of the ticket here in Memphis is the county mayor. Well, it's gotten ugly, folks, and we just got word a few moments ago that overnight, the Republican Party headquarters of both of the top candidates were ransacked. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have with us Kerry Vaughn. He is chairman of the Shelby County Republican Party, the largest Republican party in the state of Tennessee. Kerry, I want you to explain to our listeners what happened last night.
Todd, thank you so much. What happened last night is a great affirmation and confirmation of what will happen when you receive money from New York and other states coming into the state of Tennessee, coming into Shelby County to support the wrong candidates. This type of lifestyle will become the norm. It will become a daily routine if we don't go to the polls tomorrow and vote Amy Wyrick for district attorney and Worth Morgan for county mayor. I mean, this will be a way of life for Memphis and Shelby County, and that's not what we signed up for.
So what happened last night? Tell us what happened at the campaign headquarters.
After people were working at headquarters at Amy Wyrick's office and also Worth Morgan, and then we have a headquarters also over in the Trinity Commons area. After everybody had worked, made phone calls, sent letters, and locked up, they went in there, right? Groups from Mulroy and those teams went in there, ransacked the place, vandalized.
All All right, now let me hold on, Carrie. Let me jump in here. Again, this is a national audience, so they're not going to know names here. Steve Mulroy is the Democrat who is a Soros-style Democrat who wants to be district attorney. So you're, so let's go ahead and back up now and give us a blow-by-blow of what happened.
Well, it looks like people of their team came in and took over, ransacked, destroyed some signs, and destroyed the building, and just left it in disarray. And, you know, here's my concern, Todd. You know, at the same time, we were over at the headquarters of the Republican Party in the Germantown area. What if it had happened to us? We had volunteers last night making calls. We had ladies walking out to the car. You know, what if somebody had hit one of the ladies in the head or stolen a car or somebody really had gotten hurt or something severe had happened? Do we want this for our county? Do we want this for the city of Memphis? It's not what we signed up for.
No, it's not.
I just would encourage our people tomorrow. You have one last shot to hear your voice, and that's tomorrow from 7 to 7 at the polls. That's how we move the needle. That's how we make a difference.
Now, Carrie, so the damage, have you guys called the police in? Do they have any leads, any video footage maybe of what might have happened?
Everything is fresh this morning. We're right in the process of all of that. They're trying to figure out what's been stolen, what is gone. They are making a report. They are looking at the cameras. So there'll be more details to come.
Well, it's hardball, and I think we've certainly seen this yesterday in Michigan, Lansing, Michigan. They canceled the Republican watch party because they were deluged with death threats and bomb threats, and they had to call the police in. It is a very dangerous time to be a Republican in America, Carrie Vaughn.
Well, are people willing to destroy their city to win their city? I mean, it's an oxymoron. And so we use the phrase many times, it does matter who governs. But let me say this, Todd. It comes down to effective leadership. It comes down to safety. When you poll people across this county, their number one hurdle, their number one concern is safety for their families. Amy Weirich will provide that safety.
All right. Carrie, this is very disturbing. Have you guys taken any measures to protect your volunteers, your staffers, the election tomorrow? There are going to be a lot of people coming in and out of those offices in the next 48 hours.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're meeting right now at headquarters, having those conversations. We're ramping up security. And we're trying to put in safeguards so that not only do we win elections, but that none of our people get hurt.
You're right, Carrie. All right. We appreciate you letting us know about this. Amy Weirich is going to be on the program today, and we'll get her to weigh in as well. A very disturbing thing. Carrie Vaughn, you guys be safe out there.
Hey, Todd, let me just say this before we wrap. Yeah, we don't need money from other states. We don't need personalities and celebrities from other states coming into Shelby County and trying to help us run what is ours. Let's take back what is ours. Let's make the right vote tomorrow.
All right. Carrie Vaughn, who is chairman of the Shelby County Republican Party in Memphis, Tennessee. Carrie, thank you. Folks, that's very disturbing, and especially when you look at what happened in Lansing, Michigan yesterday. Now, my recommendation, we have many listeners in the Memphis area. KWAM is our flagship station. I know many of you are law-abiding gun owners, and you might consider reaching out to the Republican Party headquarters and offering to volunteer to help guard the Republican campaign offices. There are many Republican campaign offices, and quite frankly, those of you in other cities might consider doing the same thing. Again, Republicans are conservative, law-abiding, peaceful people. But we're not going to allow ourselves to be put in harm's way. We're not going to allow people to come in and burn down our campaign offices, burglarize our campaign offices, and beat up volunteers. We're not going to let that happen. And so maybe, just maybe, and we'll open up the phone lines, but, you know, we need some guidance here, some ideas on how Republicans nationwide can guard and protect themselves and their offices in what is going to be a very dangerous election cycle. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, normally $89.98, now only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, have a cool, crisp feel, and these come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. All right, so the latest we're getting from Pinal County, Arizona, and by the way, Kelly Ward, who will be with us later on, says that there were issues all over the state yesterday with the balloting and the voting. But the big headline is coming from Pinal County, where 63,000 mail-in ballots went to the wrong voters. And the locals are saying, well, we weren't anticipating a large number of in-person ballots, that there was a big demand, and we weren't ready for that. The RNC is stepping in, and now they're demanding that the local officials step down. But again, how did anything like this happen? And we're just talking about a state primary here. I can only imagine what's going to happen in the general election. But you've got the Arizona Republicans and the RNC now calling for the locals to be removed from their office. Charlie Kirk, meanwhile, is now suggesting that there were voter shenanigans. Cut number four, please.
I had primal rage today when my family called me and said that they had to rerun their ballot through multiple times because the Sharpie bled through the ballot. You have one of those Sharpie pens, Ben? What's going on?
I do. Yep, I sure do. So I was out at one of the polling locations here, and a lady came out and said, "We're using Sharpies again. This is Sharpie Gate 2.0 we're having now." And she said she went in to vote. They said that they're using thicker paper, and it's ironic that then you said that they're printing them themselves. She said, "I don't trust the Sharpies."
Sharpie Gate 2.0, here yes. We are. They gave me a Sharpie, and it bled through my ballot. I literally tried to vote for Kerry Lake, but it ended up bleeding through, and I voted for more than one person. And what he told me was, if it wasn't for him catching that, the ballot center themselves would have just taken it in and said nothing.
But are you serious?
Because he decided to make a fuss about it, a lot of attention came to them, and they actually had to give him a new ballot so he can vote again, because obviously the ballot was rendered void because of the bleeding through.
So what I find interesting about all of this, so all of these allegations were coming out when Kerry Lake was running 20 points behind. But now Kerry Lake is ahead, and all of a sudden everybody's gone silent. So was there a Sharpie gate or was there not a Sharpie gate? I mean, make it, folks, stop playing games. Stop doing what the left does. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Oh, by the way, here's Kerry Lake. She was asked about this. You know, they're saying she's out there hollering voter fraud. I haven't heard that from her. Here's Vaughn Hilliard from NBC News, cut number eight.
You're already contending that there's irregularities and there is fraud in this election. At what point does Kerry Lake stop and say, am I undermining Americans' faith in our elections?
Kerry Lake is going to help bring back honest elections to America.
But you haven't even laid out any fraud or irregularities.
Like Vaughn are about destroying America.
But what fraud is there, Kerry? What fraud is there? This is serious.
You want to make this about you, or do you want to make it about America?
This is about Arizona voters and their faith in this election.
The last person on the planet Earth I would tell about what we've discovered is you and MSDNC.
So you know about a crime, and yet you're not reporting it to authorities.
And I'm not telling you about it.
When are you going to report it to authorities?
Because you're propaganda, and you are against America.
Is it not until you
and Mika and Joe
when you start
are
to lay
against
out,
America?
Why not provide that?
Fake news, everybody. Fake news. In the house. There it is. So there is some fake news in the house, guys.
Wow, what a crap sandwich that is. Jeez-a-loo. So, look, what gets me is Vaughn Hilliard's supposed to be a fair and balanced news guy for MSDNC. But that's what you get. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. Again, paying very close attention to the results coming out of Arizona. Still do not have a winner. Right now, Carrie Lake up by about 12,000 votes. 844-747-8868. Do you think we're going to have a fair election in the fall, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
My name is Deborah Marion, and 12 years ago, my son Lorenzo Wright was murdered. And that's something no mother should ever have to go through. I never gave up on justice for my son, and neither did Amy Wyrick. Under state law, my son's killer was up for parole after just a few years. Amy Wyrick worked and got that law changed. She even went to the parole hearing with my family and spoke out to make sure my son's killer wouldn't go free. What's scary about this whole thing is Steve Moiro opposes the law that will make a murderer serve their full sentence. Can you believe it? His team even criticized Amy Wyrick for going to the parole hearing with my family. We need a prosecutor that will put criminals behind bars, not one that will set them free. I'm Deborah Marion, and I am proud to support Amy Wyrick for DA. She's the best.
Paid for by the committee to elect Amy Wyrick, Mike Keeney, treasurer.
That has to be one of the most effective campaign ads I have seen across the nation, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Glad to have you with us. Every major American city under attack, and the source of the attack are these leftist district attorneys, many funded by George Soros. And if they're not funded by George Soros, they are styled after George Soros. And they're turning our cities into war zones. Well, Memphis, Tennessee, one of the deadliest cities in America, we are very fortunate to have a tough district attorney. And she is facing a very, very dangerous opponent, a gentleman by the name of Steve Mulroy. He's a professor. He is a leftist, and we are honored to have with us Amy Wyrick, our district attorney, in the studio. Amy, good to have you with us today.
Great to be here. Thanks.
You know, that voice you just heard, the mother of Lorenzen Wright, a basketball player, Memphis Grizzlies, a horrible story, and you went to bat for this family because for you, it really is about getting justice for these families.
We go to bat for thousands of families every year, and it's still, I've heard Miss Marion's ad many, many times now, and it's still hard to hear it, to hear the pain in her voice. And I've met thousands of families like Miss Marion, whose lives have been destroyed because of violent crime, and that's something I'm very proud of, and I will never apologize for fighting hard for the victims of crime.
You know, I think it's hard for people to understand what's really at stake, not just in the election here in Memphis, Tennessee, but really all over America, where you've seen cities like San Francisco, New York City with the bail reform laws that have really turned the, I guess, turned the page and really given the criminals an upper hand.
Right. So reform has to mean more than release. And a lot of times when you hear, particularly my opponent talk, everything is directed toward what can we do better for the offender? How can we make sure we get more offenders out of custody faster? That's not the job of the district attorney. The job of the district attorney and the job that I've done for 10 years is to fight for victims of crime.
your opponent has made a point of saying, well, you've been sending many young people, juveniles, to the adult court. I'm just going to ask this as straightforward as I can. The people, the young people that have been tried in adult court, are those people who have stolen a bicycle, or maybe they put chewing gum on the side of the sidewalk or something of that nature?
Absolutely not. The 40 juveniles that were transferred last year by the juvenile court system at the request of our office committed murder in the first degree, murder in the second degree, rape, carjacking, aggravated robbery, criminal attempt murder. These are, the majority of them are 17 years old. And if we didn't seek transfer, at the age of 19, the jurisdiction of the juvenile court runs out and they would be released from custody with absolutely no supervision, no control, no regulations on their conduct if we didn't seek that remedy. I wish we didn't have to. I wish we didn't have so many juveniles committing the violent crime that we're seeing in this community. But the answer is not just releasing them.
And you know, I've seen the debates, and I've yet to hear a reporter ask Professor Mulroy the question, okay, out of the 40 people, those 40, which ones would you have charged as a juvenile? Which family doesn't get justice?
Right. And that's, you know, something I've said over and over again. I don't think this community, because I go everywhere in this community, from North Memphis to Westwood to Cordova to Chelsea to Smoky City to Southwind. It doesn't matter. Everywhere I go in Shelby County, the citizens want the same thing. They want a district attorney who's going to fight hard when the violent crime occurs. That doesn't mean that we don't also do a lot to help rehabilitate and a lot to help intervene. But if the violence continues and if a juvenile or an adult offender continues to victimize, they leave us no choice as prosecutors.
You know, a very recent example, you had a 15-year-old who was wearing one of those ankle monitors, accused now of carjacking and killing a beloved Methodist minister here in town. And there is a raging debate going on right now about whether or not that young man should face charges as an adult.
Right. And it's a debate that's going on in the community, and I have great respect for those who have a different opinion than I do. And I think it would be a wonderful legacy and memory in honor of Pastor Williams to do all we can to build up and to enhance the resources available for our young people. But right now, what I am faced with as district attorney are two juveniles accused of a very serious, the most serious violent crime that we have. And I have a responsibility not simply to that family, but to the entire community that I serve to do the right thing and to make that tough decision to seek transfer.
It's been fascinating for me to see so many out-of-state people coming to the defense of your opponent, endorsing him, John Legend, the musical artist. I would love for someone to ask Professor Mulroy, what is your favorite John Legend song? I suspect he may not be able to answer that question, but to the point, your donations are not coming from out of state. Most of his dollars are coming from out of state. Where are your donations coming from?
My donations and my support comes right here from Shelby County, and it's the citizens of Shelby County that I serve, and I'm very proud of that. As I've said many times, my favorite donations are those $25 checks that I've gotten from a Shelby County resident, because that says, I thank you for the work that you're doing. I support you, and this is what I can give you, and it means a lot to me. You know, and the out-of-state donations should be a red flag for people. The out-of-state support should be a red flag for people. Because
why is that?
His platform is identical to the platform of DAs in other parts of the country, platforms that have proved to be dangerous, eliminating cash bail, not transferring violent juvenile offenders, not supporting tougher laws for victims of violent crime. Those three things right there have been tried in San Francisco and many other cities and proven to not work. And I think the voters and the public need to be very aware of that when they go to vote tomorrow.
You know, I think people were very surprised when Congressman Lee Zeldin, running for governor in New York State, was at a campaign event. He was attacked by a guy who was preparing to stab him. It was all captured on video. The guy was was arrested, and then he was immediately let go without bail because that's what the law of New York said, and that could be coming here.
And that's even, you know, proving to be a disaster in New York, and they're looking to what can we do to walk this back, water this down, change it. I mean, the thing is, we have good laws in the state of Tennessee. We have good bail laws that instruct a judge or a judicial commissioner what to look to in setting bail. We have good now. We have very good sentencing laws with Truth in Sentencing that I fought for 10 years to get passed. Not because Amy thinks it's a good idea, but because the thousands of victims that I've met in the course of my career have demanded it, and our legislature passed it finally this year. You know, my opponent loves to criticize me because he says these out-of-town organizations are critical of my work. I really don't care. It's the citizens of Shelby County that I serve, and it's the citizens of Shelby County that I meet with and listen to and respond to.
You and I are about the same age, and I don't know about you, but when people try to throw around the race card, there's something inside of me that just sets me off, and it angers me, because by and large, I think, you know, we have a strong community, and there are people out there trying to divide us, and your opponent has all but accused you of being a racist. How do you deal with that?
Well, I tend to ignore it. It's infuriating because what it says to me, not only accusing me of it, but accusing the hardworking men and women of the district attorney's office who go to work every day fighting for justice. The police department is not out making arrests based upon anybody's skin color. The police department reacts when a crime occurs, a victim of that crime or a witness of that crime reports it. They pass on information. What did they see? What did they hear? What did they notice? They pass that on to law enforcement, and law enforcement does their job investigating that case and hopefully making an arrest and bringing us someone to prosecute. But to say that we're doing anything based upon race is nothing more than inflammatory and insightful.
Look, I've seen you out there. You're a tough lady and a terrific district attorney. And they've come after you. And I remember when I had just moved back home to Memphis, I'd lived in Brooklyn for 15 years. And someone said, you're not going to believe this, but they're going after the district attorney's home. And they actually, the activists, went after your home and fired fireworks, incendiary devices at your home.
I did.
How do you deal with stuff like that?
Well, fortunately, none of my children were home. Fortunately, I was there alone, and my husband was out of town, and I'm very thankful for that. The police department responded very quickly, and fortunately, nobody was hurt, and there was no serious property damage. They burned. It was the 4th of July, and I had lined my yard with some flags, and they decided to burn all of those. But you know, again, it's. If that's how you have to act to try to get a point across, that's unfortunate because I am incredibly accessible by phone, by, you know, if you want to stop by and visit and talk to me about things that you're concerned about in the community. But showing up at somebody's private home and setting their personal property on fire doesn't seem to be a very productive way of getting anything done in this community.
It's unacceptable is what it is. Election early voting numbers, not very good for Republicans. There's been some concern. I want you, because Election Day tomorrow, and people need to understand what is at stake. What does Memphis, Tennessee look like if Steve Mulroy gets elected district attorney?
Memphis, Tennessee looks like San Francisco. Memphis, Tennessee looks like many other cities that are grappling with and struggling with an increase in crime, not simply because they've elected a DA who says, here's the long list of things I'm not going to do, but the impact that that has on your law enforcement. Law enforcement is already struggling enough in this community because of COVID, because of understaffing, but you've got to have a district attorney that is willing and able to stand up and fight for the victims of crime and to enforce the law. It doesn't mean I believe that everybody should go to prison. I've created more alternatives to incarceration and alternatives to traditional prosecution than it many, many DAs across the country combined. But what you have to have is that district attorney who understands that the answer to our crime problem is not simply releasing people from prison.
Well, best of luck to you, Amy. And again, full disclosure, I'm one of your donors and supporters, and I'm very proud to say that. And we wish you the very best. Folks, you got to get out and you got to go vote tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We will open up the phone lines. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
By the way, Bernie Garrett was on Newsmax talking about how George Soros, again, targeting the district attorneys. This is so... it's genius. It's evil, but it's genius. Saying that Soros is going after the DA's office to destroy your city. Take a listen.
This is a guy that personally, I think he should be under investigation by the FBI and DOJ, but you're not going to see that under a Biden administration. Yeah. He is intentionally doing everything physically in his power to destroy major cities in this country, from New York City. He funded the DA in Manhattan. He's funded prosecutors in Minneapolis, Atlanta, St. Louis, yep. And a number of San Francisco, L.A. Every one of these cities have the most substantial increases in violent crime, shootings and murder in the last 20 to 30 years.
Unbelievable. You folks, listen up. You better get your butt to the polls. If you live in Memphis, Tennessee, get your butt and go and vote tomorrow. You've got a responsibility to the rest of America, because we don't want to be farming out. We don't want to be farming out our criminals to your cities. Nobody wants it. Let's go to the phones here. North Carolina Charles, WSIC, our great affiliate. Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I wanted to talk about the election primary results last night and then moving forward. But what is going on in Arizona and other places like Washington State? I mean, it just blows my mind that in this technological day and age, here it is 18 hours after the last polls have closed, and we still don't know a winner. You've still got 18% of the vote out there in Arizona that's not been counted. And in Washington State, you've got almost 60%. I mean, it's stuff like this that gives it plants seeds of doubt in people's minds about the election integrity. It makes people question the outcome of elections, which I think is disastrous. I think we need to go back to same day voting, in person voting with paper ballots, just like France does. I mean, if a nation of 67 million people can do that and have a winner by the end of the night, why can't we do that?
I think that's a pretty smart way to go about it, Charles. I really do, because you're right. There's no reason why we should not already know the outcomes of these elections. And it cast doubts once again on the integrity of the ballot box. My concern, and this goes back to Georgia, where you had so many people in those Georgia Senate races who just did not go and vote because they said, what's the point? We cannot put ourselves in that position again in the midterm elections. And Charles, I was taking a look at the Democrats going out and voting, and I'm pretty concerned about the enthusiasm level there among Democrats. I mean, they're pretty fired up, and that's shocking considering that their president has turned this nation into a dumpster fire.
Well, yeah, I agree, Todd, and I tell you, I'll just give you my opinion what I think will be the winning formula for Republicans this fall, because I firmly believe this is a 1932 type moment where the Republican Party has a chance to completely destroy politically at the polls. The Democratic Party is a viable political institution. But in order to accomplish that, I think you're going to have to listen to Newt Gingrich, who I think is one of the most astute political analysts out there. You've got to have this contract with America that tells people and spells out exactly what Republicans are going to do. But secondly, if you are a Republican running for a seat of Congress or the Senate, You've got to run ads showing a picture of Joe Biden on one side, your opponent on the other side, and constantly attach your opponent to Joe Biden on the economy, on crime, energy policy, on illegal immigration, every issue that's important to the American people, because that's what happened with Reagan in 1980. That's what happened with Reagan when in 1984 when people were running and they attached themselves to Walter Mondale, such as Jim Hunt and Walter Mondale here in North Carolina in 1984. Going back to 1972 when Nixon was popular and Republicans gained seats, that's been a winning strategy ever since.
And well, look, Charles. Yeah. Let me jump in here because we're about to run out of time for this hour. Look, I think that's a good strategy. We do need a unified message, and if you can unify around the issue of crime, the economy, gas prices, inflation, if you can do that, the border. If you can do that, you are going to win. But there has to be a unified message. And what I am seeing right now is a divided Republican Party. That's what I'm seeing. And we've got to figure this out. We've got to get it together. And we cannot be afraid of being Republican. All right? We can't do that. Got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Eric Bolling from Newsmax coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So great to have you with us today. Man, it was a long night. Those elections in Mountain Time and West Coast Time, they get me every time. I'm getting too old to do these elections. By the way, we still do not have an official winner just yet. Carrie Lake right now, 46.2% of the vote. Karen Taylor Robeson, 44.4%. So there you go. Still counting ballots, and the election yesterday was a debacle. We're going to be talking to Kelly Ward a little bit later on this hour. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. A former great colleague of mine at the Fox News corner of the world, now at Newsmax, host of The Balance, the great Eric Bolling. Eric, hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you again, friend.
It's been a while. You know, the last time I saw you, this is weird. I don't know why I remember this, but it was at the lobby there of the beautiful Trump International Hotel in D.C., which was a great gathering ground for conservatives back in the day.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, if you remember, well, so I was taping a show in D.C. at the time. I was living in South Carolina, so I was up there every Tuesday and Wednesday, and there was MAGA Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, the whole crowd, MAGA crowd, came from all over the country just to, you know, stand and have a cocktail or have a bite to eat amongst like-minded people. It was fantastic. That whole lobby, a massive hotel lobby, was just packed with all the wall people.
Oh,
just about every Tuesday. Yeah, it was a great, great event, great time. And guess what, Todd? I hope to do it again. I want to find another hotel because you hold that one.
yes, indeed. Eric, before we jump into the primary battle there in Arizona and some of the races yesterday, I've been reading with great interest some of your comments about our former employer, Fox News, and certainly no surprise to this audience because I've been pretty open about it. Fox News no longer fair and balanced.
No, I'll tell you what happened is about 2-3 weeks ago or so, I was watching Fox. You know, I watch the competition all the time. Not my competition now, but I'm watching, and all of a sudden there was this 3.5-minute package. Now, you know from TV, a package is something that's pre-produced. So there's producers, there's a host, there's a cameraman, and they gather all this content on camera, on tape, and then they decide how they want to deliver it. So 3.5 minutes is a really big chunk of time on Fox News, and it was playing on some of the other platform, Fox platforms as well. So 3.5 minutes of a pre-produced package, and it stunned me. For about a minute and a half, they were talking about, would you, and it's up to conservative voters on the street, right? And it's very common to do these packages. But would you vote? What do you think of Donald Trump? What do you think of Ron DeSantis? And it's fairly evenly matched because that's pretty much where the polls are. Trump has a lead over DeSantis, but there are some DeSantis people who would like to see DeSantis run. Anyway, so the first minute and a half of that is like that. And they went to a group of a similar group of conservatives, Republican voters, and the last 2 minutes was unanimous. And the question was, who would you vote for in the primary, Trump or DeSantis? And it was unanimous. Every single person they put on that screen and in that package, so they vote for DeSantis. And I was shocked because that's a statistical anomaly at best and a statistical impossibility at worst. And what it tells me is that someone, and they have to sign off on all these other levels of management, as you know, signs off on anything that hits that Fox screen. So I was like, why are they really moving away completely from the former president? Is this a smart editorial move on their part? Well, guess what? Within a week or so, the Wall Street Journal had an op-ed that was kind of anti-Trump. And then, shockingly, the New York Post, who had been pro-Trump in 2016 and then kind of pro-Trump in 2020, there was an op-ed about his time has come and gone as well because of January 6th or something to that effect. And I was like, wow, the Murdoch empire is moving away from Trump. I was there during the 2015 and 2016 lead up, and I knew they never liked the guy. I knew it. I mean, it was pretty obvious that the family never liked him, but they dealt with it, held their nose and dealt with him, and then he brought him a ton of ratings over the 2016 to 2020 years. And then, Karl Rove last Friday wrote an op-ed on, and this is a big one, questioning Donald Trump's finances, campaign finances, and how he's using it. And from that, Rove is a Bushy, a Rhino Bushy, and hated Trump straight through. Trump took out his buddy George Bush's little brother Jeb. But for the Wall Street Journal to publish an op-ed questioning the former president's finances at a time where he's, under so much scrutiny with January 6th, it just said to me, it was a loud beacon telling me that Murdoch Empire, Murdoch World, Fox, everything they own, Fox Nation, Fox Business, everything, as a directive, I would say a directive, I'm guessing, a directive to move away from Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear to me, and I was back at Fox during those election cycles, and I saw it myself, Eric. And again, a lot of people may not realize that by and large, the overwhelming number of staffers that work there come out of the New York area, that tri-state area, and most of them, for better or for worse, are probably to the left of the actual network. And that was always in check when Roger Ailes was alive, when Bill Shine was there and John Moody. Once those guys were gone, it became a free-for-all. And now I think they've lost their footing, and they, I suspect it's going to be a slow, if not steady, move to the left.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm out of place here. And are they going to come after me, Fox? They're going to... I think both of Murdoch's sons' wives had worked for Democrats or Democrat causes in the past. If I'm not mistaken, one of them worked for Hillary, re-elect Hillary, or elect Hillary. Sorry about that. elect Hillary. By the way, I hope she runs again because it would be fun to watch her lose again. But I think both of Murdoch's sons' wives had been involved and made some donations to Democrats, which is shocking. I'll throw one more at you. I'm trying to figure out what's going on over there. And this is just by watching what they publish, what they put up on the screens, and what they put in their newspapers. Murdoch's hosted a George Soros op-ed a couple of days ago, where Soros was doubling down on his willingness to spend money on liberal prosecutors around the country. Now, on the Wall Street Journal, Todd, that's a Murdoch Empire paper.
It is, and that's a flagship paper. So that's an important thing for us to pay attention to. Eric Bowling from Newsmax. And Eric, I have to say that the great thing is that Chris Ruddy and the great team over there, I've seen so many. I was in the New York headquarters a couple of weeks back and saw so many former Fox colleagues. So it's almost become a refugee center, but a very good one, because it's exciting to see Newsmax embracing that fair and balanced idea, real news for real people.
I love Newsmax over here. It's just... I host the 8 p.m. show, and Chris has just said, just go do bowling, do what you want to do. And we call it the balance, because because of kind of Fox. I came from Fox, and again, we separated 4 years, 5 years ago. Unfortunately, same day my beloved son passed away. And for the record, no one ever called me or sent me a card saying, sorry to hear about your devastating loss. Another reason why I can't stand them. But anyway, so Reddy says, I said to Chris when I came over, I said, you know, Fox feels like they're moving left. You know, we should do some sort of graphic over here at Newsmax where it has the mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, and then put Fox in that in one of those scales of justice, you know, where the person has their eyes blindfolded, but there's two scales. I put them all on one side, and Newsmax can be the other side because we're balancing out the mainstream media with our editorial content. And because Fox is no longer on this side, I don't believe. That's opinion. So, yeah. So the balance, that's how the name The Balance came along.
Love it.
So I host a show, The Balance, of 8 Mile here.
Well, it's a great show, and it's the whole network. They're doing terrific work there. Real quick, I want to get you to weigh in on the primaries last night. We still do not have a winner. Carrie Lake pulled ahead in the overnight hours, and she still holds a slim lead in the gubernatorial race. But Eric, it's a complete mess over there with the elections.
Yeah, Arizona. If you look, Trump did very well with candidates he supported in Arizona. You know, kind of had a funny, by the way, last night I took credit for Trump endorsing me, Eric, because he endorsed the two acts in Missouri. But I think Arizona looks very, very strong for pro-Trump people. I mean, Trump will hold Arizona probably, you know, next time around, assuming Fox doesn't call it for Biden before the day before voting even opens. So that was a joke, Fox. That was a joke.
Yeah. Eric. All right.
Don't sue me. Eric,
we got to leave it there. It is great hearing your voice again, and you're doing a great job. Congratulations on the new gig at Newsmax.
Hey, good talking to you, Todd. I'd like to catch up with you sometime. And folks who listen to Todd, you're hearing from a real true patriot there.
Well, you're kind to say that. Eric Bowling, everybody, good man there at Newsmax TV, and just a good colleague over at the Fox News Corner of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, a very quick question as we go to break here. Based on what happened in Arizona, Washington State, do you have faith in the elections? Do you believe that we can have integrity at the ballot box? 844-747-8868. Charles earlier said we need to look at what France is doing. I don't think a federalized election is the way to go, but some people do. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. Have you guys heard about this this new app called Upside? This is pretty impressive. I downloaded it a couple of weeks ago. So if you buy gas or groceries or you like to go out to dinner, you really need to get Upside. And the reason why is with every single purchase you make, you actually earn cash back. And they've got a great deal for listeners to the Todd Stearns radio program. If you download the free Upside app and use my promo code, which is my last name, Starnes, they're going to give you $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. So let's say you make a $10 purchase down at Chick-fil-A. You're going to get $5 back on that. It's a pretty awesome deal. As a matter of fact, Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. They've got a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So download the free Upside app, use the promo code STARNS, and again, you're going to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Again, that is the Upside app. You can find it on the App Store. We'll be right back, America. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, America. 844-747-8868. That's how you get to talk to me. Let's go to the phones. Georgia, PJ on the line. Hi, PJ. What's going on?
Hello, Mr. Stearns. I have no confidence in our election system at all anymore. Just too much, too many people doing unscrupulous things. And there's no punishment for it anymore. I mean, they just won't do anything to them when they catch them doing it. So there's no fear of doing it.
PJ, if you were in charge, what would you do? How would you make sure that we've got a fair election?
Well, I think I would put laws out there, which we have, but they would be enforced, strictly enforced, if someone got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. But if they're not going to enforce them, it just becomes a big joke. And there's no fear of doing wrong. And as we've seen, the Democrats, they're just lawless. I mean, they'll do anything.
You know, it seems to me, PJ, that maybe we ought to start treating people who stuff ballot boxes, people who go and help dead people vote. Maybe we ought to start treating those individuals like insurrectionists, and maybe they ought to spend the rest of their life in prison, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to literally steal an election.
Yes, sir. I'm with you, and I thank you for all that you're doing on your program to enlighten people of what's actually happening in the world. And you have a very moralistic show, too, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're kind to say that, PJ. Thank you for listening, and tell your friends and family. We want to keep growing our audience here. By the way, the Michigan race, so you had Congressman Meyer. Never can spell that guy's name. It's spelled like Major, but it's pronounced Meyer. And he went down in defeat. He was one of the three Republicans on the ballot yesterday, the other two in Washington State, who voted to impeach President Trump. And Meyer went down in defeat. Everybody's claiming this is a big MAGA Trump victory. I'm not so sure about that. If you remember back in the day, they had Operation Chaos, Rush Limbaugh. This was a brilliant strategy. And Rush encouraged Republicans to get out there and vote. Was it the Democrat primary with Hillary and Bernie? I may be botching this, but anyway, wanted all you Republicans to get out there and vote and to cause a little chaos. Well, this is Operation Chaos in reverse, where you've got Democrats that are jumping into some of these races, and they're actually supporting the MAGA candidate in the primary, and then they're going to flip in the general election. So we'll see how that plays out, but Meyer went down in defeat yesterday in the state of Michigan. That's the third congressional district race. And we're still trying to get returns in from Washington State. They've got the same issue that that they've got in Arizona.
Turn an ordinary day into a super fantastic family day at the all-new Brandon Falls, America's summertime destination. Bike your way through the heart of Delaware and meet the zany characters of Brandon Falls, like Pedo Peter.
Gather around, children. Let me smell your hair.
And after you've worked up an appetite, enjoy a south of the border taco at the Brandon Falls Bodega. Or for some lighter fare, try our gluten-free Kamala Word salad, chock full of nuts.
Hey, Mom, let's go to Brandon Falls.
I'll go get the bicycles.
Whoa!
And I'll get the first aid kit.
Fun for the whole family. Plan your trip to Brandon Falls today. Let's go to Brandon.
Yay!
Not paid for by the Delaware Department of Travel and Tourism.
So Cracker Barrel facing a world of controversy on social media. Cracker Barrel is announcing they're rolling out a brand new menu item, something called Impossible Sausage. Have you heard about this? So it's sausage made with what, plants like azalea bushes and ferns and whatnot. And Cracker Barrel says we're wanting people to discover new meat frontiers. I don't know about this. I mean, when people go to Cracker Barrel, are they really wanting the vegan biscuits with the side of soy milk gravy? I don't think so. I think they're wanting, like, fried food. And so anyway, people are really angry about all of this. And they say that they believe that Cracker Barrel has betrayed their base. I guess you don't have to eat it. I mean, nobody's going to force you to eat the impossible meat. Can I just tell you, I've actually tried this fake meat before, and it actually tastes like wet cardboard that's been harvested from one of those Antifa homeless camps. I mean, it's got a nasty aftertaste. A Cracker Barrel, ladies and gentlemen. You going to try the sausage? 844-747-8868. You know, people are really fired up over Cracker Barrel, Grace Baker. I don't understand why. If you don't want the impossible sausage, just order the real sausage.
I have a feeling that'll be a seasonal item on their menu.
Well, I mean, you know, they started serving booze at Cracker Barrel, and that set off the Sunday after church crowd.
That's a little weird.
What,
you just order
alcohol?
It any time of day.
Yeah, and it's not just beer. It's, you know, booze in general. I mean, if you want a mixed drink or something like that.
That's just a little weird because it's Cracker Barrel.
It's Cracker Barrel. I mean,
it's just a little weird. What, I don't think I'd ever say,
what pairs well with meatloaf? Martini? Do you really want the Cracker Barrel waitress serving?
Maybe a Bloody Mary? I don't know.
It seems moonshine would be more appropriate.
That makes the most sense.
Right? I mean, I don't want to be stereotyping anybody.
Cracker Barrel has a theme. Own the theme.
It's comfort food, not health food.
No.
That's right?
No.
So it just seems to me they're trying to be all things to all people.
Boozy milkshakes? I don't know.
You know what they'll do for you? This may be on the menu now. Maybe not. I don't. But I like their meatloaf, but I like a good meatloaf sandwich.
Ew.
Oh, that's the best.
I like their chicken and dumplings.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, but good chicken and dumplings.
They just don't have, I don't know, it's not something I can normally order when I go out to eat.
They have a seasonal, it used to be seasonal, it may be on the... It may be on the menu now, but year-round, the Double Fudge Coca-Cola Cake.
Oh, I've heard of this, but I've never had it.
So I was on the campaign trail somewhere. Where was I? Somewhere in the middle of Alabama. And I pulled off. I was looking for lunch, and I pulled off at the Cracker Barrel. I was working at Fox at the time. They never seen so many receipts on my road trips. It was always Cracker Barrel or Waffle House. So I'm pulling off at the Cracker Barrel, and all I wanted, I was just in the mood for the Double Fudge Coca-Cola Cake. And I got a glass of cold milk, and it was great.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was the
delicious.
Weirdest thing. But anyway, they call these things impossible. It's impossible meat is what
it is. Because it is impossible because it's not meat.
You can't swallow it. It's impossible to swallow.
I've never tried it. I don't really want to.
Well, I did it by accident.
Oh, no.
And I actually did good. Good came of my
experience.
Tragedy. So I went to the market, and I was getting some link sausage, and I grabbed it. I was in a hurry.
Yeah, look at the label.
And then I'm making the food, and some things did not smell right as I was cooking it. Then I look at the package, and I said, oh, it says maple flavored. I'm like, oh, well, all right. So anyway, I'm sitting down. I was doing breakfast for dinner. You guys
I
ever
love
do
breakfast
that?
For dinner.
I love, yeah,
my
every now and again.
My husband doesn't, but I like it.
Yeah, breakfast for dinner. So I'm sitting down there. I've got my scrambled eggs. I had some toast, and because it's New York, no biscuits. And then there was the link sausage, and I took a bite of the link sausage, and it was a gag reflex. I couldn't even, it was just almost immediately, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like rancid or something. I thought it was like bad. So I was getting ready to package it up and send it back to the grocery, and when I looked and I saw it was impossible sausage.
There's your answer. You had been tricked.
So here's how the good came up. There,
yeah,
good,
where's the good? Where's the moral of the story?
Good came of my tragedy.
Okay.
So I go back and I'm talking to the manager. And he says, oh, well, this is not real meat. And I said, exactly, follow me. So we go right back to the meat section. And I said, here's the problem. You've got the real meat. And then you've got the fake meat, and it's all together. You can't mix the fake meat in with the real meat.
Nope.
You can't do that.
You got to have like a vegan section.
So about a month or so later, they actually created a vegan section, and they separated it. So
that makes sense.
You've got the real meat, and then you got the milk and stuff, and then you got all the fake stuff.
All the plant-based stuff.
You're welcome, Brooklyn.
Saving Brooklyn one grocery aisle at a time.
That's it. 844-747-8868. But anyway, the folks over in the vegan world are very excited about all of this. They're saying that they want to provide a personalized experience with delicious breakfast choices to satisfy every taste bud. But I'm not too sure. I was on social media, and people are really riled up over all of this. Because, again, Cracker Barrel is about fried chicken and sweet tea, not necessarily avocado toast and wheatgrass. But that's maybe that's just me. Anyway, I'm just going to take my chances with the real stuff. By the way, the best sausage in all of America, Grace Baker, William Sausage. Folks, you got to try it. Made right here in the great state of Tennessee. We know how to make. We do barbecue and we do sausage. And we got a, well, pretty good football team. Go Vols.
Excuse me?
What? I said go Vols. Almost,
no,
Tennessee Volunteers.
Go Tigers.
Oh, Grace, come on.
It's almost that time of year. It's going to get tense around here again.
I don't know. Here's my concern as the staff for Vols. What happens if they start serving salad at, like, Waffle House?
I don't go to Waffle House. I call it Awful House.
Or it'd be like serving caviar. Maybe that would be the comparison. What Awful House?
I'm sorry.
How dare you, Grace
Just
Baker?
The ones around here are just not.
Well,
not
that's
my
the
thing.
Whole point.
Oh, to it's eat not, bad food?
No, the food is good. It's to watch to see what's going to happen around you. It's
oh.
It's an immersion experience.
Freaking out.
No, it's an immersion experience.
Okay.
So it's kind of like going to a third world country, you know, in a war zone.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Except you get your hash brown scattered, covered, and smothered.
That doesn't sound...
You folks out there know exactly what I'm talking about. It is a lot of fun, though.
If you say so, I'll take your word on that one. I'll go over to the Perkins or something and say...
All right. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868.
Can I just add really quick, my hangout spot in college, of all places, we went to the Perkins every night because they were open late.
Perkins?
And it was
Is that
just
the
like,
bakery place?
Yeah, so there's just like a bunch of old people and then this one table full of college kids. And we would just eat and play board games until 2 a.m. in the morning.
So normally I drive by the Perkins, which is near my home.
Yeah.
After the show, and it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The place is packed.
Always packed.
And so one day I decided to pull in, and there was like a waiting list. And I'm like, what is going on here?
For a Perkins.
Like, they said, well, it's the early bird special. So they have all the, you're right, senior citizens galore.
Yeah, including late at night. They're just always there.
Well, you got to hang out somewhere. You got to hang out somewhere.
We didn't have anywhere else to go.
All right. By the way, folks, speaking of having some summertime fun, have you heard about Life Change Tea? They're having a super big summer sale. Buy three, get one free. Life Change Tea, it's amazing. It's natural. It's gentle. And it will make you feel healthy. I drink it every day. Three delicious flavors, natural peppermint and pomegranate. Life Change Tea is made right here in the good old U.S. of A. It's super easy to brew. All you have to do is keep a jug in your fridge and you can drink it every day, kind of like the Milos. By the way, getthetea.com is the website, so you want to order some, do that right now. Getthetea.com. Use my discount code Todd10. That's Todd and the number 10. Get this. They're going to give you $10 off. Plus free shipping. That's over $50 in savings. And everybody loves to save money. GetTheTea.com. Use the discount code Todd10. All right, let's go to the phones here. David in Georgia. What's on your mind, David?
Hey, you know, speaking of that fake sausage, I had a run in with some stuff like that. Actually, when I was in the military in Europe, I tried a fake hamburger back in the Vietnam era.
A fake hamburger?
Yeah, it was green. I ordered a dish and they brought me out this bowl of eyeballs that looked like, I don't know, spoiled milk. But it was a delicacy. I didn't know we were in a restaurant and pick something and that's what they brought me. I said, oh, I can't eat something looking back at me. So.
I'm with you, David. I can't, if it's looking back at me, I can't handle that. So appreciate the call. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, folks, let's head right over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us, from the great state of Arizona, the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, Dr. Kelly Ward. Dr. Ward, always good to have you on the program.
Hey, Todd. It is great to be with you. And what you know, whenever your phone answerer asked me how I was doing, I'm just going to tell you, I am ecstatic with the amazing victories in Arizona, putting us on the America First path. We are number one in America First in saving not only our state but the whole country, and it's amazing.
So, give us the latest here. We know that Masters won his race, and that was a pretty big win. Blake Masters, 39% there in the primary. How are things going in the gubernatorial primary right now?
Carrie Lake all the way. You know, it was a nail biter. I was up until 4 a.m. Watching the returns, seeing what was going on. Couldn't go to sleep because when those early ballots, all the mail-in ballots came in from Maricopa County, you know, she was down by about 10 points. And I knew that what I saw with my eyes and what voters saw with their eyes with the momentum on the ground, that had to turn around. And slowly but surely, every time a new dump of ballots came in, she got about 66% of everything that came in. And by a little after 1 a.m. Arizona time, a little bit after 4 a.m. East Coast time, it was clear that she had pulled ahead. And by the time I went to sleep, she was up by 10,000 votes. We still have some of the same day drop-off ballots, people who got ballots in the mail but didn't feel comfortable mailing them back and delivered them to a polling place yesterday. So they still need to check those, but the thought everywhere, not just in Arizona but all over the nation, including with all our pollsters, is the people who dropped those ballots off are going to be very, very similar to the people who voted on the same day, and Carrie will stay in the lead, and she will be our nominee to take on the terrible, horrific, Trump-hating Katie Hobbs.
Yeah, and what a disaster she's been in her current position. The numbers last night, 63,000 ballots were sent to the wrong voters in Pinal County alone?
Yeah, it's Pinal County is the third biggest county in Arizona. And remember, we only have 15 counties in Arizona. So Maricopa, the behemoth, needs to be broken up into at least four other counties. Pima County, where Tucson is, very, very blue. And then Pinal County, a rural county, third biggest in the state. They've been a disaster since early voting started. They printed their ballots incorrectly. They put municipal races on ballots where they didn't belong, and they didn't put them on other ballots. So the confidence there is very, very low. And then yesterday, the last draw is they were doing precinct level voting, and there would be Republicans, for example, where there are 500 Republicans registered in that precinct. They only delivered 25 Republican ballots to those places. So Republicans were showing up to vote and weren't able to because there were no ballots. So they were telling them either to wait or to come back several hours later. And a lot of voters were disenfranchised yesterday in Pinal County. That's wrong. We have got to stop it before the general election. And we will do anything, including a lawsuit on offense, to make sure that that does not happen in November.
So who is ultimately responsible for what happens? Is that the Secretary of State? Is it the governor?
Well, the Secretary of State and the governor ultimately certify certain elections, and they say, yes, we give it the stamp of approval. But those county election officials are the ones who are in charge of what happens in their county. There are election directors that are appointed people, and they've had a lot of problems. They generally handle the early voting about a month in Arizona. The recorders have election day operations, and the recorders are elected.
Now, unfortunately for us, there is a terrible person named Stephen Richer who claimed he was a Republican when he was running, who got a lot of support from Republicans because he wanted to take that seat back from a Democrat who was a radical leftist progressive who actually wants to be the next Secretary of State. And Stephen Richer has been a complete and total disaster. He is a disappointment. He is incompetent. And he's also just very smarmy. And he has done a terrible job. You know, I know that last night I called on the election director from Pinal County to resign, but I think Stephen Richer really needs to look seriously at what he's doing as well, because he has not been an asset to the Maricopa County Elections Department, in my opinion.
Dr. Ward, I want to circle back to the governor's race. As it now stands, the numbers we have, and if you've got updated numbers, please share those with us. Carrie Lake, 46.2% of the vote. Karen Taylor Robeson, 44.4%. Is there a point where there's an automatic recount in a primary? And if so, what is that percentage?
That is, those numbers sound as up-to-date as I've heard recently. Maricopa County will be counting some of those the day of dropped-off ballots today and giving a report by 7 p.m. And an automatic recount would not occur unless the margin was at or lower than 0.2%. So it's
okay.
Only a couple hundred votes. The only one recently who's gone through that is Andy Biggs when he first ran for Congress. And he came out victorious in that primary race. And I think he's been a great rep. And I look forward to Kerry being, giving Ron DeSantis a run for his money for the most conservative governor in this great United States.
That it's going to be interesting. Any idea when we might be able to get a formally declared winner of the primary race there?
I'm keeping my eyes open to see when that's going to happen. They have up to 5 days on these ballots that were dropped off. They are ballots that have been signed, dated, and a phone number on them. So those have to be scanned into the system. The signatures have to be checked by the signature checkers at the county. And then they can, once they're confirmed as legal ballots, then those are able to be tabulated. There are ballots that may have signature issues or may not be signed that the county has up to 5 days to cure. So they can call those voters or contact those voters to see if it's really them that sent it in. Those will be a smaller portion. So I think the vast majority we should see, I hope, today. They should be able to tabulate the vast majority.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see how fast the county goes.
I have 20 seconds here, Kelly, and I'm very curious about voter turnout, especially among younger Republicans. Any idea of how that went?
I know that this was the biggest primary turnout ever in the history of Arizona, which bodes so well for November for us. I know that the polling shows that younger voters are for the people who got elected, Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, Abe Hamadeh, and Mark Fincham, in terms of those statewide offices.
Okay.
And so the future is bright for Republicans.
All right, Dr. Kelly Ward, I know it's been a long couple of days for you. Thanks for coming on the program, and thanks for the update.
Thanks, Todd. Keep up the great work.
All right, folks, there you have it. The very latest from Arizona. Could be up to 5 days. Might be today, though. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll keep you posted. Hey, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Just to give you a quick update, still waiting for election returns out of Arizona in the gubernatorial race there on the Republican primary side. Just a few thousand votes separate Karen Robeson and Carrie Lake. You just heard from Dr. Kelly Ward, chairperson of the GOP in Arizona. She says could take up to 5 days, but it may possibly, they may possibly have a winner declared sometime later today. So just listen to your local radio station for those updates. Another big story we've been following, the possibility of World War Pelosi. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, the great senator from Tennessee, Bill Hagerty. Senator, good to have you with us.
Great to be back with you, Todd.
Now, Senator, before you went to Congress, you were the president's ambassador to Japan, President Trump. I'm curious to know your take on Pelosi really defying the administration, the Biden administration, and going to Taiwan.
Well, I'll just preface my comments with this. I get nervous anytime I hear Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Nancy Pelosi are going to be outside of the country making statements on our nation's behalf, because all of them miscommunicate constantly. It's very hard to even understand what they're trying to say very often. But to step back, I want to say this as well. The notion that Nancy Pelosi and the White House need to have this debate in the media about whether or not she should go just opened up a window, an aperture, if you will, for President Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping is worried about domestic politics. He's trying to get himself reelected to another term here in a couple of months when his party Congress meets. This gave him the opportunity to beat his chest and to talk tough, and he's going to do a bunch of activities. If Nancy Pelosi wanted to go to Taiwan, she should have just gone to Taiwan. She should have had any kind of national security conversation she wanted privately with the White House, and she should have just gone. When President Trump was president, we sent senior officials. We didn't ask for a hall pass from the CCP. And no member of Congress should have to get permission from the Chinese Communist Party. But what they did is they opened up a window here in the U.S. media, made it an issue here, and Xi Jinping decides that he's going to be a tough guy again. He needs to demonstrate that, and that opportunity has been provided to him now. So what we're going to see happen is what in Japanese they call kabuki theater, but this is going to be a lot of theater out there. I think there's going to be saber rattling, and he's going to be proving himself to be tough, but he's not aiming it at us as much as he's aiming it toward a domestic audience, to make sure he's perceived as strong as he goes into his reelection. It's unfortunate that this is the environment that we're in right now. I think it would be quite different if we had a president who was conveying strength at every turn. But since Afghanistan fell, you've seen China become much more provocative relative to Taiwan. You've seen this happen in other places around the world as well. I think our allies, you know, are rightly concerned about this administration, and our adversaries have been emboldened.
No doubt about that. And again, the images coming out of the narrative coming out of the White House is nobody's in charge of anything. I mean, Nancy Pelosi basically thumbing her nose at the president. And again, the threats coming from China, I'll give her credit. At least she didn't back down. I mean, but at that point, what kind of a message does that send to our enemies where we are not presenting a united front when it comes to China and the communists?
Todd, you are exactly right. We need to be presenting a united front of strength. And it's not only our enemies I'm worried about, it's our allies too. Our allies are getting increasingly concerned about, you know, will we be there? Are we going to have some sort of, you know, muddled response like this? We're going to be debating in the news media over here what we should do or what we shouldn't do. We need to be strong and we need to be clear. And we've demonstrated anything but that.
By the way, you mentioned Afghanistan. Just real quick, Senator, and again, it is amazing news, and we celebrate the fact that we were able to get the last of the al-Qaeda leadership, Ayman al-Zawahiri. My concern is, kind of lost in the coverage here, is that al-Qaeda is clearly back in Afghanistan, in Kabul right now.
Precisely, Todd. I mean, one of the architects of 9/11, finally being brought to justice, of course, we're supportive of that. But at the same time, this underscores what we were all concerned about, and that is that the Biden administration's feckless escape from Afghanistan, the surrender that they delivered, not only created a vacuum there, but it's allowed the Taliban to come in, and they promised they wouldn't do it, of course. But, you know, now they're harboring al-Qaeda, and that's this is proof positive that that's happening. It's the concern that we all had that we left $80 billion worth of some of the most sophisticated military equipment in the world, left that lying on the ground there. We departed with no window into what's happening there. And, you know, we've got al-Qaeda forming up and, you know, living boldly outside. I mean, that's how they were caught. The guy's out on his balcony. They're not even hiding. So So it's a real concern. It underscores the fact that we had been worried about, and that is that as we exited, we created a vacuum, and that vacuum is bringing more terrorists and more challenges for us, more strategic challenges for us every day that it's left open.
Senator, how concerned are you, or should we be, that China would try to make a play on Taiwan? Do you think that is a real possibility, or do you think it's just a bunch of bluster right now?
Well, I think right now, you know, Xi Jinping is focused on getting himself reelected in a few months. But after that, after he's reelected, he's made a clear statement that he wants to see Taiwan, quote, reunified with mainland China. And what you see in Taiwan is not folks that want to go peaceably. They've seen what China's done with respect to Hong Kong. China violated international promises to keep Hong Kong as a separate system. They've clamped down on Hong Kong. They've shut it down. They've taken people's human rights away, and Taiwan's seen this unfold. And the harsher the CCP is toward Hong Kong, the more resistant Taiwan has become to any sort of unification. So I think they're going to have a real problem on their hands. The question is, how do they deal with it? Do they deal with it peacefully, or do they deal with it militarily? And what we've seen from China is a constant buildup of their military. And you know this, Todd, they've now exceeded the number of ships in their Navy that we have. It really makes it incumbent upon us as the United States to have the strongest military in the world and to begin to widen the gap with China rather than let them continue to close it. That's the posture that we need to be adopting, and yet you've got an administration here with Joe Biden that sent us over a defense budget that, net of inflation, is a defunding of the United States Defense Department. That's not the posture we need to be adopting right now.
No, you're right. And again, you are a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, so you see all of this up front in real time. I mean, we are juggling what could be, it's almost like we're on a tightrope across a minefield. When you look at what's happening with Russia, Ukraine, Iran, you've got China and Taiwan, and you just hope and pray that this administration, like to your point, doesn't slip up and stumble ourselves into a world war here.
Yeah, and I'll add a couple of more flashpoints, too. Kim Jong-un is back at it again in North Korea. You know, he's rattling his saber again, as he was back in 2016 and early 2017 before we got things sorted out with him. Then you've got situation in South America and in Latin America, where you've got China, Russia, and Cuba all very active down there. There are reasons to be concerned everywhere right now, and I think the Biden administration has created an environment. And again, I'll point back to Afghanistan as probably the major turning point in the psychology of our adversaries, but he's created an environment that has just made those countries that we just mentioned all emboldened. They're ready to challenge us at every turn, and we're not demonstrating strength as we should be.
Senator, the key to stopping the Biden administration is the midterm elections. That's the opportunity Republicans have. What are your observations on the Republicans campaigning nationwide? What are you hearing? What are the odds that we're going to be able to retake the House and the Senate?
So I'm going to give you a two-part answer to this, Todd. First, if you just look at things broadly, and you look at the polls, the American public is fed up with the performance of Joe Biden and Democrats. You know, Biden's numbers are at rock solid lows. He's probably going to get a bump out of the hit in Afghanistan, but his numbers are low, and they're probably going to move lower because inflation is the number one concern here. Gas prices, that's all Joe Biden's fault because he began waging war on domestic energy the minute he came into office. If you look at the major issues, they're kitchen table issues like our border. Completely collapsed. We've had over 160 different nationalities captured at that border, apprehended at the border, since Joe Biden took office. What a national security disaster. Crime is up in every city. You've got, you know, basically a country that is extraordinarily concerned about their leadership right now. So when you poll in the battleground states, you're going to vote Republican or you're going to vote Democrat, overwhelmingly, Republicans have the lead. Now the question becomes, when you start putting people's names into those boxes, we've got to have good candidates, and we've got to properly support them. Here's what's got me worried. I think the House of Representatives we're going to take, but in the Senate, the Democrats have raised phenomenal amounts of money. If you look at Warnock in Georgia, $50 million now, cash on hand. That's astronomical. Same for Mark Kelly in Arizona. These are states we could win, but we've got to have the firepower to push back, and the Democrats have demonstrated an ability to raise an amazing amount of money from their activist donors. And we've got to get ourselves in a posture to fight back against them.
You're right. You're absolutely right. All right, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. Good stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Excellent being with you. Thank you.
All right, Senator Bill Hagerty from the great state of Tennessee, my senator, by the way, and he's not lying about those donation dollars. Forget about the polling data, you know, and you can have those arguments about polls. But what is undeniable is the amount of money that these candidates are raising. And the Democrats are kicking our butts right now, folks. So that's why we got to get out there and we've got to get engaged. You've got to get your neighbors engaged. We have a country to save. That's what the midterm elections, that's what it's all about right there. That is step one. Step two is electing Donald Trump back to the White House. That comes a little bit later. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. Folks, now more than ever, we've got to support companies that share our values. Companies like Patriot Mobile, they're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. If you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you free premier activation and a free gift. Now, Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other guys use, and they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. It's super easy to make the switch. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use my promo code Todd. Oh, Alex Jones from InfoWars is on the witness stand. You know, he's facing some pretty serious issues with this Sandy Hook story. And for years, Alex Jones has said that it was all a hoax, that it didn't happen. Can I just say, as I was a reporter at Fox News at the time, and they sent me up there to cover that story, I was a reporter, a journalist, and I can tell you flat out that it happened. I never did understand the people who were saying that Sandy Hook never happened. So anyway, Alex Jones, now under oath on the witness stand, says that he does believe that those children were killed in the school massacre there at Sandy Hook. What a mess that is. What a mess. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. A couple of headlines from Breitbart News that should make you feel happy. CNN reports that profits have plunged below $1 billion. They are really suffering over there. Ratings have tanked, and now they're planning dramatic cuts across all of their media properties. That would be the new parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery. They're in hot water right now, folks. Ratings have plummeted. The profitability of the network declining to $956 million this year. It is not looking good. And what do you expect? When you alienate a good chunk of the nation, you get what you ask for. So that's the latest from CNN. This story also from Breitbart. A woke scandal is blowing up after Warner Brothers shelved Batgirl. So that's the latest big $70 million DC Comics movie. Batgirl was supposed to have featured DC's first transgender character. But apparently nobody wanted it in the theaters, and nobody even wanted it on cable. HBO Max didn't even want it. Now is Batgirl, she's transgender? I thought she was a lesbian. It's hard to keep... Basically, there are no more straight superhero characters in the DC platform, except maybe the Flash. I don't know. We need good old Avery. We haven't heard from him in a while, but maybe he could help us sort through this. But what, Superman is now gay or bisexual? And then you got Robin doing Lord knows what with Batman, and you got the fish guy, Aquaman. And he may or may not be doing something with dolphins. I don't know. And who was it? There was somebody. I mean, it's just the whole list of them now. Everybody's identifying as something. And they're shocked. They're genuinely shocked that nobody wants to go see those movies anymore. They seem to be genuinely surprised that nobody is buying their comic books anymore. May I just say that the sex and gender revolutionaries and the woke crowd, they ruin everything. They absolutely, positively ruin everything. And it's not right. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, got to appreciate that guy. He is the real deal. Now calling for doctors that are doing these mutilation surgeries, he says they need to be hauled into court.
Talk about these very young kids getting gender-affirming care. They don't tell you what that is they're actually giving very young girls double mastectomies. They want to castrate these young boys. That's wrong. And so we've stood up and said, both from the health and children well-being perspective, you know, you don't disfigure 10, 12, 13-year-old kids based on gender dysphoria. 80% of it resolves anyways by the time they get older. So why would you be doing this? I think these doctors need to get sued for what's happening. I'm sorry.
Good for you, Governor DeSantis, and I completely agree. And quite frankly, the moms and dads need to be visited by the Family and Children Services Department. I mean, because you've got a bunch of nut job parents who are out there backing all this stuff as well. So like yesterday we told you about this crazy story. There was an 80-year-old business owner. He owns a little market. And some guy comes in, tries to hold him up, pointed an AR-15. So the elderly store owner pulls out his own gun, and here's what happened. It just makes me smile. The bad guy, he had his arm blown off, and he jumped into the getaway car. They were able to capture the guy, so now they're all in jail, and the other guy's in critical condition. The owner had a heart attack, and he's doing okay now. But he's speaking. You know, you feel bad for these people, but this guy is a hero in my estimation. And a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to engage your Second Amendment rights. You never know when somebody's going to try to, you know, rob your store or break into your house. You got to be able to protect your family. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Jeffrey Lord and Liz Peek going to break down the primaries yesterday. We'll be right back, America. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. So here's the update from Arizona. Kerry Lake ahead by a couple of points, still counting ballots. Karen Taylor Robeson is also still in the mix here. Now, you heard Dr. Kelly Ward, and I was sort of fascinated to hear this. Normally, the chair of your party stays out of the race. So if you've got two Republicans duking it out, you stay out of the race. But clearly, that has not happened here. So Dr. Ward was a big supporter and is a big supporter of Kerry Lake. Regardless, I think you're going to have a strong nominee. If it's Robeson, you're going to have a strong nominee. If it's Lake, you're going to have a strong nominee. Now, here's where I have a problem. I got a problem because you've got people out there saying that Karen Robeson is a rhino, that she's not really a Republican. And that's just a flat out lie. You can like Kerry Lake, you can support Kerry Lake, and you can say that Kerry Lake is an America First conservative. And that's all well and good. But you can't turn around and just lie about your opponent. You just can't do that. And we're not going to let that happen on this radio program. Now, I'll tell you this. Karen Taylor Robeson worked in the Reagan administration as a kid. She worked for the Bushes. And I know that that's kind of hit or miss these days with the Bushes. But she also was a strong supporter of Donald Trump. Now, I have a question for you. What about Kerry Lake? Every time you try to bring up the fact that she was a supporter of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, people try to shoot you down and try to accuse you of smearing her name. But you know what? It's the truth. Now, she says she's had a conversion experience and that she is now a Trump supporter. And you know what? I believe her. I believe that she is. But then to turn around and saying that a lifelong Republican is really not welcome in the party anymore, I mean, that's stupid. And I say this because what happened in Arizona is a very good lesson. Pay very close attention. You've got a divided party in Arizona. We've got to get it together. We've got to figure out a way to patch things up. And you've got the Liz Cheney's of the world who are out there saying, well, if you don't reject Donald Trump, we're going to destroy the party. And then you've got folks on the America First side who say, if you don't bow down and pledge your allegiance to Donald Trump, then we're going to blow up the party. And you know what happens? Democrats get elected. That's what happens. It is what it is, folks. And I'm telling you right now that Arizona is a warning to the rest of the nation. Got to get it together, and we've got to get on the same page. The winning platform is the America First platform. It's that simple. So if folks don't want to get on that caravan, well, you're not going to win in the fall. It's that simple. Oh, here's Carrie Lake last night, cut number 7.
There is no path to victory for my opponent, and we won this race, period.
All right, so she was claiming victory last night. And again, votes are still being counted. Things could change. She may be the winner. Here's my question. If Robeson is the winner, will the America First crowd get behind Robeson? I suspect that Robeson's people will get behind Carrie Lake if she's the nominee. But we got to play this smart, people, and if we don't, we are going to see big problems come the midterms. Big problems. Now, Vaughn Hilliard from NBC was stalking Carrie Lake last night. Here's how that encounter went, cut number 8.
Your Honor, contending that there is irregularities and there is fraud in this election, at what point does Carrie Lake stop and say, am I undermining Americans' faith in our elections?
Carrie Lake is going to help bring back honest elections to America.
But you haven't even laid out any fraud or irregularities.
Like Vaughn are about destroying America.
But what fraud is there, Carrie? What fraud is there? This is serious.
Do you want to make this about you, or do you want to make it about
Arizona? This is about Arizona voters and their faith in this election.
The last person on the planet Earth I would tell about what we've discovered is you and MSDNC.
So you know about a crime, and yet you're not reporting it to authorities.
And I'm not telling you about
it. When are you going to report it to authorities?
Because you're propaganda, and you are against America.
Is it not until you lose tomorrow
night? You and Mika and Joe
when you start
are
to lay
against
out.
America.
Why not provide that?
Everybody, fake news in the house. There is some fake news in the house, guys.
There I feel bad for Carrie Lake because she's got to deal with all that nonsense. Pretty disgusting. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Indiana, Robin on the line. All right, Robin, what's on your mind?
Todd, I'm very angry with you over some of the things you're saying about Carrie Lake. And my point is, Barack Obama fooled a lot of good people back in his first run, and my sister even voted for him. She is now a strong MAGA first, America First. The voters in Arizona are tired, very tired. I have family of the rhinos. Karen Robeson, I don't care. You say she worked for the Bushes? Well, there you go. That's a big rhino establishment right there.
So, Robin, hold on. I'm going to let you have your say, but I want to jump in here for a moment. Karen Robeson raised millions of dollars for Donald Trump. You got a problem with that?
No, but she turned against him like every other rhino
When did she turn against Donald Trump, Robin?
Oh, well, okay. In Arizona, where is she coming out about the election fraud? Obvious there are signs of election fraud out there. Maybe, you know, if the mainstream media would put it out there, she never defended him. Then she had Mike Pence come and support her. Mike Pence, I worked for him when he was governor in Indiana. He was a great guy until he let us down. He had the right, and he had the, the measures to turn those votes back to the
election. Well, hold on. Robin, were you angry?
Well,
okay. So he's a traitor. Did you want Mike Pence hanged like the people that brought the gallows to the Capitol?
No, you
didn't want him hanged.
No, comes from a very fine family. But what he did is he went along with the establishment instead of listening to the people. Mike Pence stopped listening to us. I would have voted for him and worked for him if he was running for president, if he had done the right thing.
So who is more liberal then? I mean, who's more of a rhino? Would it be Karen Robeson, who is raising money for Trump, or Donald Trump, who put Mike Pence on his ticket?
Donald Trump did a lot of bad mistakes on his cabinet choices and people that worked for him, including, look, I didn't have a problem with him putting Mike Pence as vice president because Mike Pence is a fine person.
You just said he was a traitor. That doesn't sound like a fine person to me.
He is not. He betrayed us when he did not turn those votes back to the electors. It was up to each individual state. He had the authority to do it. If he did not have the authority to do it, Congress wouldn't be enacting a law now that the vice president can't get involved.
But Robin, I want to go back, and I hear what you're saying. I want to go back to Arizona, though, because you said that Karen Robeson hasn't done anything about voter fraud. Well, she can't do anything except talk about it because she's not in office. But a couple of weeks ago on my program, I asked her about that, and she acknowledged, she said there was voter fraud, and that is an issue, and it has to be addressed.
I heard her on your show, but I also know that how much money she spent because she happens to have a lot of money and privilege with her husband. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but she is not going to defend us. When Doug Ducey endorsed her, that was another clear sign that is establishment. Arizona's a mess. Why aren't you addressing Meghan McCain's tweet about how bad the people of Arizona are for putting MAGA first? And they made their choice, hope they get what they wished for. Meghan McCain is supposedly from the John McCain family, and this is what she's saying. They've been against Trump and us, the people of Arizona, the people of the United States. They are not for us.
But again,
they
I want to go back.
The establishment.
I hear what you're saying. And Robin, I know you mentioned that she has a lot of money, and you're right. She has a lot of money, very wealthy, very successful. The reality is she also raised millions of dollars for Donald Trump. Now, do you have a problem with that? Did she make a mistake by raising money and campaigning for Donald Trump?
In his first term, you mean?
Yes, she raised money for Donald Trump.
I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is today, what people are saying about Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake has said all the right things. And we have to give her the chance to do what she says. We have everything in us. Karen hasn't come out and told us what she would do for us or the illegal immigrants. Carrie Lake, she's a pompous with her mouth, but that's what we need. We need these people who will stand up for us.
Now, again, Robin, we have been one of the few conservative talk radio shows that have had both candidates on. And we've had Carrie Lake on this program a number of times. And I know the original point of the call was you're very upset about me, and you said I said things about Carrie Lake that were not true. What did I say that was not true about Carrie Lake?
What you're doing is slanting it.
No.
I know that you're supporting Karen Robeson. You keep on bringing up Carrie Lake voted for Obama.
She
Carrie
did.
Lake did this. Carrie. So what?
That's so what?
That was in 2008.
So you're telling me that Carrie Lake, who not only voted for Barack Obama, she went door to door canvassing for Barack Obama. You're saying that she is more of a Republican than Karen Robeson is. And I'm saying my argument, Robin, hold on. And my argument is I believe they're both Republicans, but if you're coming to me as a newborn Republican and you're saying I have just converted to the Republican Party, I'm going to need to see some fruit. I'm going to need to see some evidence that you really are a true conservative and you're just not taking advantage of the political climate. That's
all. Well, are you listening to her speeches? Are you listening to what she's saying? Because she's saying what she's going to do. And we can hold her feet to the fire because we have video evidence of what she said. I don't hear Karen Robeson out there telling anybody what she's going to do, plus the major networks have all but banned Carrie Lake because she believes that the electorates were stolen. in 2020 as a majority of Trump voters in MAGA do believe. Arizona and Georgia are a mess, and including Pennsylvania. We need somebody who will go in there, stop this immigration stuff, go, get in there, change their election. Why are we waiting still for Maricopa? I was up to 3 in the morning watching, and Maricopa isn't going to have any results till tonight.
Look, and that's a great point. And again, that's a different issue, but they've got a big problem with the electorate down there, and no doubt about that. But Robin, I hate that you feel like I'm bashing Carrie Lake. I'm not. I have seen this. I'm sorry. What's that?
It sounds like you are, because every time you bring up anything about Carrie Lake, it's always in the negative. Every time you bring up anything about Karen Robson, it's always positive. You don't ever say anything positive about Carrie Lake.
I've had her on the show, Robin. I've had her on my show more than Karen Robson. What do you want me to do?
I think, Todd, what you're doing, and I don't know if you are aware of it, but every time you bring her up, you're like, oh, but Carrie Lake is this, and Carrie Lake did that. And, you know, why don't you ever say, but I've listened to her speeches, and she's talking about blowing up those tunnels. She's talking about putting up a wall. It's rhetoric, blowing up the tunnels, but that's what needs to be done. And the things she's saying are good. And so when we get her in there, we will hold her feet to the fire. But we haven't even had a general election yet, and we're already bashing a Republican who may be the governor endorsed or the governor-elect subject for the Republican Party. And it sounds like you're bashing her.
You know what, Robin? If I was going to bash Carrie Lake, I would bash her. But instead, I prefer to look at the record. That's what you have to do when you're looking at these candidates. You've got to look and see, okay, here's a person who in 2008 did not just vote for Barack Obama, but registered as a Democrat. How does that person go from a registered Democrat, Barack Obama supporter, to a bona fide, rock solid, fire breathing conservative who supports Donald Trump? That is a fascinating story, and one that needs to be told. But it would be unfair of me. And you know what? She's got and it is on her to do that, because she's got to explain.
There's a lot of voters who were duped by Barack Obama in 2008. I have many friends and family who registered as a Democrat and also voted for Barack Obama his first term because he has a smooth way of talking. Once he got in office, they realized it, and they supported Trump. Trump wasn't always a Republican, and I don't consider him a Republican. I consider him a populist, but we can't have a populist party in this country, because it'll divide the votes and the Democrats will win.
Robin, we're going to agree to disagree. I'm not bashing Carrie Lake and pointing out her past, just like you pointed out Robeson's past. It's just, these are the facts. We got to run. Thanks for the call, Robin. You give us a call back. I like the debate. Got to take a break. We'll be back. Let's get back to the phones. Heating up today, folks. Let's go to Georgia. Daniel, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hey, Daniel, what's up?
Not much. How are you doing today, Todd?
Good. Thank you, sir.
I hope I can express this right. Listening to your conversation with Robin, I feel like people get too caught up in what the folks around the candidates are saying rather than what the candidates are saying and what the camps around the candidates say and the hype that goes around. I never trust the camps around the candidates too much because there's so many people that can get involved. It seems to keep us stirred up at each other so much. People get hypersensitive to... at the wrong people. We're battling against each other, and we're so worried about arguing against each other and forget that both Robin and you and both candidates in that election, we're all fighting a good fight.
Well, Daniel, let me look. I again, I live in Arizona. I don't have a dog in the hunt. But somebody tells me they're a rock-solid, bona fide conservative. They're more conservative than I am. I'm going to ask for some evidence of that. I believe what Ronald Reagan said, and I've got a little placard on my desk in the news bunker, trust but verify. And with Carrie Lake, again, she's the one who, I didn't tell her to vote for Barack Obama. I didn't even tell her to vote for John Kerry, but she did. Gave money to both of those guys. Back in 2017, she attacked Donald Trump in 2017, just 5 years ago, blasting him over his response to Charlottesville. I didn't do that. She did it. And for all of a sudden now, for somebody to bring that up and say, can you explain the conversion experience here? And that makes me a bad person? Yeah, that doesn't wash with me.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from. And that's where I say we all get a bit hypersensitive. Donald Trump also gave money to Hillary Clinton.
Sure did.
And
it's a great point.
Exactly. We have to remind ourselves that if we get so caught up and he did this, she did that.
Daniel, got to run. We got to leave it there, but I know where you're coming from. And we like Robin. Look, we're going to agree. We're going to disagree. That's the whole point. We can have the conversation on the radio. All right, folks, we've had a lot of stuff going on today, and we're going to do it all over again tomorrow. Be good, America. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.